The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.
Watch us on the YouTube channel, the Tony Curry Radio YouTube channel. Look at that beautiful face on the left-hand side. That's Mark Ingram. He's the UAB Athletic Director. Looking and feeling dapper today. I'm Tony Curry. This is the UAB Director's Chair. We do it every single week. We take your emails, info@TonyCurryRadio.net, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. You can hear this show at least 5 days a week on the TKR app, but of course also hear it wherever you get your favorite podcast, and watch us right here on our YouTube channel. Marcus, how are you doing, sir? What's going on?
Hey, man, I'm excellent. How are you doing?
You got a tie on today. You got some important stuff going on? Yeah. We'll also get into some classic rock a little bit later on the show. Disappointing loss this past weekend. Again, we mentioned this. I think UAB has given up 35 points or more, I think, in five or six straight ball games. That's going to be something that Trent Dilfer is going to have to work on the defensive side of the ball. We know they're going to score some points.
I really appreciate the reminder there, Tony.
That's it's pretty obvious. I wish I had had the over in every one of those games this year, but talk a little bit about that game, and then we'll get ready for the Battle of the Bones this Saturday. Yeah.
You know, I would tell you now that I've watched them, you know, in person, UT San Antonio is the best team that we have played other than Georgia.
Wow, okay.
They're really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's funny. You know how sometimes you see a player on another team and maybe just for fun, you kind of say, man, is that guy like a seventh year senior or whatever? You know, he's been beating us for their quarterback. He actually is a seventh year senior. I didn't realize that.
Wow.
I mean, I knew he'd been there a while and he's played great. Entering the season, he was considered the number one quarterback in the league. And it is easy to see why. That guy is so poised. So he had a traditional 5 years. This is not a joke. And probably some of the people listening are like, yeah, man, you didn't know that? I did not know that. So he had 5 years. And somewhere in there, he got injured. So he got a sixth year because of a medical hardship waiver. He got a medical hardship waiver.
Okay.
Then he got a COVID year. So he got his sixth year and then he got a seventh year. Yeah, he's a seventh. The guy's 25. One of our analysts goes, yeah, man, he's a year older than I am.
I don't think I've ever heard of a 7 year guy.
Yeah. So, I mean, either. So, anyway, they were really physical, really good. You know, look, man, turnovers have plagued us on the offensive side, which doesn't help the defense. And, you know, you mentioned points given up or whatever. You know, in the South Florida game, our defense played really, really well and put our offense in position to score and score a lot. We gave up three touchdowns in the fourth quarter. We had emptied the bench on both sides of the ball. So I wouldn't look at that total, though. You know, the fact is what the fact is. But I wouldn't look at that total and say, oh, man, you really can't figure it out. I mean, we were up, I think, 35 points or something. Yeah, I think 35 points. We were up 35 points or 28 points maybe in the fourth quarter and ended up winning by two touchdowns. So anyway, gave up three and scored one. But, certainly want to continue to get better. But San Antonio's really good. Got a tough test this week with Memphis.
Mm-hmm.
The old Battle of the Bones back at it here and really excited about that for our fans. That's one that everybody's been looking forward to. Memphis is really fast. I wouldn't say they're as physical as, say, San Antonio, but they're really fast. And gave Tulane fits. I thought they might beat Tulane. So they probably thought they might beat Tulane. But, we can win the game. It's a matter of putting it together and doing so. So, we've got five games left and still working hard to try to become bowl eligible and still can. So, the game's at 11 a.m. We're going to have a rib cook-off and a contest down here right outside the stadium.
Nice.
Between Uptown and Protective Stadium there in the street. So hopefully you'll come out and just see those guys. And we've got 11 different people that have entered the contest. We're doing a sauce contest this time around. And, you get to walk around and meet these folks and from all around and talk to them about what they do. I think it's a cool, cool thing we've got going on.
Ever since I-22 got finished, man, an easy ride up to Beale Street up in Memphis, Tennessee. So a great game. And the 94-pound bronze brack of ribs up for grabs here in the battle for the bones. And also, it's going to be a blackout. So you're inviting everyone, despite the fact that it will be on ESPN2. We'd ask you to get up a little early, 11 o'clock. And you mentioned, of course, the other two teams interstate playing later in the afternoon. So you got plenty of time to do it all, right?
Yeah, that really works out nice that we play before both Alabama and Auburn. So, yeah, you could come see us play and get home to see those guys play, which would be great. Yeah, 11 a.m. kick on ESPN2. Yeah, we're doing a blackout. We thought it would work out. I don't know, something about the ribs and charcoal and all that, and kind of had crossed our fingers for a night game. But we got an early morning game, so it'll be – sun not fully up maybe at kickoff, but yeah, wear your black and your green and cheer for the mighty, mighty Blazers.
Can you talk a little bit about, and I've heard this over and over and over again, and I went to the Alabama game this past week against Arkansas where they only won by three, and that early, they always talk about that early morning game, how if you're really going to catch a team, someone's got to show up and win the game, but they always talk about those 11 o'clock starts. Will you, as an athletic director, will you talk about the 11 o'clock starts? What's so funky about those early starts? You never know what's going to happen.
Yeah, well, a lot. Number one, it's not great on every fan. You know, if you travel in here from anywhere, it's early. I mean, I know some folks coming in from Nashville. They're trying to figure out that's not that far. It's 3 hours, right? You leave at 8. You're here by 3, or you're here by 11. But you know, how early do you want to get here? And you know, do I want to leave at 7? Maybe I should go in the night before. It is historically awful for student turnout everywhere, not UAB, everywhere. You know, students are still rolling out of bed. They're, you know, at 11 o'clock, they're like, wait a minute, I was just going to get up and have lunch, you know? And so we'll see how that goes. So you got those challenges in terms of attendance potentially. And then, you know, they're 18 to 22, 23 year olds that may not just be kind of awake and ready to play at the speed and the level that you have to play at 11 a.m. Now, our team practices in the morning. So we're hoping that is a benefit to us. I don't know what Memphis does. I don't know if they practice in the morning or the afternoons, but that's part of the issue, Tony, is that most people, and I don't know that it's a vast majority, but there's probably more than half that practice in the afternoon. We're not alone, though, in the morning practices. There's a lot of people do it. Every coach has their philosophy on that. Some people think, hey, if we get up in the morning early, then we don't have to worry about our guys going to class because we know after they've been up, they're already awake and they're out of their bed and out of bed. After practice, they'll have lunch and then they'll go to class. So, yeah, and then there's other people say, no, I don't want to practice in the morning because we don't play in the morning. Well, sometimes you do, you know. Yeah. So you play in the afternoon or at night most of the time, but not all the time. So
I always like the fact that I think you see your true fan base because I mean, at the Bama game, obviously there were a lot of people that were just having a hard time getting into that game, and there was no reason not to get into that game because again, it was a 3-point game at the end. But yeah, a mimosa probably doesn't taste as good as a Jack and Coke if you're at LSU on a Saturday night game, and we saw what Auburn had to go through this past weekend as well. So, but get up and get down there early. Should be a beautiful day. The weather's going to be fantastic. Another cold front coming through. It's going to be perfect college football weather. UABSports.com to get your tickets. A battle for the bones this weekend against Memphis, 11 o'clock kickoff. And again, you can see that game on ESPN2. So show your support either way. Speaking of UABSports.com, exclusive presale going on for men's basketball single game tickets. Talk about that a little bit. We're right around the corner. I cannot wait for some college hoops.
I can't believe it. Yeah, we've got exhibition games at the end of this month.
I know, right?
I can't believe that basketball's here. I'm excited about it. Coach Norton and Coach Kennedy both are excited about their teams, which is fun. You know, I've never heard anybody say, I think we're going to be terrible. But there's a lot of coaches, most coaches try to keep things kind of close to the vest, and those coaches do, but they both have been really positive and optimistic. Maybe that's just what they're telling me because they think they need to. But, you know, Coach Kennedy in particular is usually, you know, for him to say, hey, I think we'll be pretty good. That's high praise coming from Andy Kennedy. So, yeah, that's right around the corner. So, yeah, get your tickets now. We've got an awesome home schedule, our first actual regular season game in men's basketball is against Bradley. And it's the only two schools who both won 25 games last year matched up on day one. So you got two teams, you know, here. And I know that our fans are like, oh, Bradley, who is that? Well, they're a pretty doggone good team, and we want to be ready to play them. So, yeah, we're going to need people here in Bartow to make that happen and create a, home advantage. It's a challenge in the South, like generally speaking, because we're so football minded. We love football so much. A lot of us don't think football starts until January, or excuse me, a lot of us don't think basketball starts until January or February, but no, it actually starts at the end of October, 1st of November. So, you know, support those kids.
I know my son's super excited because he's now a Clemson kid, and Clemson's actually playing UAB, and we're going to make that trip to go check out that ball game. So looking forward to everything that's UAB in their basketball program. UABsports.com, check out their website. You can get every information. It's crazy, too, because if you check out the site, and it's very comprehensive. I mean, you got bowling going on right now. You got rifle going on. I mean, you got everything going on in college sports.
Yeah, we got volleyball, two soccers, and then when the two basketballs start up, we'll have all that going for a couple of weeks, which is a lot. Yeah. So it's a wild time for us, but you know, it's part of the fun.
That's good. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. Info@TonyCurryRadio.net. You can hear the show 5 days a week. Watch it right here on our YouTube channel and hear it on every major indice out there when it comes to podcasts. Steve in West End wants to know, please ask Mark about big future football games coming up on schedules. I know you talked about, I guess it was last week or the week before, about, you know, sometimes you have to schedule 7, 8, 9 years out. Yeah. Can you give us, or are you privy to some of that information about some of the big teams that UAB will be taking on here in the next few years?
Yeah, and if you go to our website, UABsports.com, and you click on, click on football and then the schedule, you can look at the future schedules. It's our non-conference games, so you can see all of those. But, you know, next year, for example, we're going to play at Arkansas. The year after that, we're playing at Tennessee. Those are just off the top of my head. So, but you can see every single one of them on our website. If you go to the football page and then go to schedule and click on any of the future years, and you can see, you know, who we have in order coming up for as far out as probably, I think we've got games until 32, I think. Wow. So you can see a lot of it.
All right. You know, and we always talk about those 2-for-1s, and I know some of these games are paid and everything else. And I think the head scratcher was seeing Alabama play down against South Florida, a team, again, they barely got by, and UAB just slaughtered them. Can you talk about a little bit as an athletic director how that works? And of course, a lot of people wondering, could you ever get a Tennessee or an Arkansas to come to Protective?
Yeah, I think you could. And so what you're talking about for the listeners is you have a traditional home-and-home series. So, we had Georgia Southern come here. Then we went to Georgia Southern. You don't exchange any money. It's home and home. We played there. They played here. And the only real negotiation point is which is first, you know. Mm-hmm. And you usually just sort of work with each other to figure that out. Like, you know, you go, hey, man, it's not that I'm not – like some coaches think it's an advantage, like, or they – I don't know, from an ego standpoint, like, hey, man, we're better than you. You're going to start here. Yeah. You know, okay. We usually just say, hey, man, I need a home game in that year. You know, you're available. Could you play us here first? And it's not about trying to. So and most people are really that way. And so so that's a home and home. And then you have what we did with Georgia this year, what we're doing with Arkansas and Tennessee. It's referred to oftentimes as a guarantee game where they pay you. They guarantee you an amount. They're going to pay you that amount. You sort of negotiate what that amount is. And you travel there. We pay our own expenses there. You travel there and you come home with a check. And that's it. They don't come back. So there is no return game. And then there's what you mentioned, which is a 2-for-1, which is, let's say we would go to Arkansas twice and then they would come here once in exchange. Sometimes there's also some money with that, but it's usually just the two games and the game. So you go, well, that'd be awesome if, you know, you got Tennessee to do a 2-for-1, they came down here. Well, it is. But it really starts to kind of monkey with your schedule, too. And so when you do those 2-for-1s, it's not like you can't figure it out, but it does complicate things a little bit. It takes the kind of the even rotation out of it. from time to time. So having those guarantees, the financial guarantee is important to us right now in terms of our budget and how we operate. So if you were to eliminate that, you say, okay, yeah, but we, you know, if Tennessee came here, let's just use them. We would sell out and that would be good. Well, if we sold out at Protective Stadium, but with an increased ticket price, mm-hmm. we would have to do that to make the same money that we make when we go to Knoxville. Then what about the 2 years we go to Knoxville?
Yeah.
Are they going to pay us? Because if they don't pay us, how do we make up for that money? Mm-hmm. You know, so that's the hard part, is figuring out the finances in those other years. And I think the typical fan thinks that you make so much money when they come here. Well, we already sell some number of season tickets. So are you going to sort of overprice or overcharge your season ticket holders for that one game to try to make up for it, and then also sell, you know, enough, you know, 20,000 more tickets to that game or whatever, 15,000 more tickets to that game. And what do you have to charge for that ticket? And now you kind of feel like, well, man, you know, who am I charging? I'm charging our fan this huge number. It doesn't feel great. Yeah. You know, it doesn't feel great.
I got you. UAB Director's Chair is Mark Ingram. He joins us every single week right here on TKR and Tony Curry Radio, and of course on our YouTube channel on Tony Curry Radio as well. info@TonyCurryRadio.net. You can send us email questions and we'll read those to Mark and he'll answer them. Classic rock. Two big bands are coming to town. You know both of them, and I actually was asked this question, ask Mark whether if he had one show he could go to for the rest of his life, would it be the return of Journey, which seems like it's getting just, I mean, I cannot believe how many people are excited about Journey coming back to town, because of course they've come here a million times, but evidently it's their last time, or Foreigner, who's also coming back, evidently, on their last tour. Everyone's doing their last tours is Foreigner and Journey. If you could pick between those two, which one you're going to see?
Well, and Journey is not with Steve Perry, right?
No. And Foreigner's not without Lou Gramm. So neither lead singer is with the band.
Yeah, I mean, I guess personally, I was more of a Journey guy than a Foreigner guy. I think, I don't know if they have more hits. Seems like they did. But I would be more excited about Journey. In fact, I just saw a commercial about it. Mm-hmm. I don't know if they're BJCC or what. I feel like I just saw that on television somewhere. I saw the ad for that. It'll be, I mean, look, man, I'm sure it's a great show. They got so many great songs in that, you know, from what I would call from my childhood mainly, that I still love and remember. And yeah, those are good ones.
And I'm to the point now where we talked about this a couple of weeks ago. You know, are you okay seeing, say, a Lynyrd Skynyrd with no remaining members? They're selling as many tickets now as they did back in the 70s. So people, I mean, I think classic rock's alive and well, and people want to hear the songs. They want to hear the group. And as long as the group's called the group, then they're good to go for it. So
sort of. I mean, I don't, you know, is it? There's no original members, so is it now a tribute band? I mean, what is it, you know?
No, I think, you know, when you have members that have been with the band for 15 or 20 years, but they're not original members, it just kind of takes on its own incarnation. And I think it's still good. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I got you. You know, and I've seen video, and I know you have too. I never went, obviously, to a Skynyrd show. But you see some video of, like, when Ronnie Van Zant was in that band, you see some video of their concert, man, it looked like an awesome time. Like the crowd is into it, you know, these sort of Woodstock looking kind of festival type outdoor concerts things, mm-hmm. man, yeah. It looked like it was just a great time. And I didn't love them. I like them more now than I did 25 years ago. I really like their music. I don't know why. As a kid, I didn't just love it. I think maybe there are some other people that I knew in my life that liked them, and maybe I didn't like those people, and I associated the two things together. If I like them, I like these guys. I don't like these guys.
No.
You know, but yeah, man, I think their music's fun. I love this.
Well, and I think because you've got younger well, you got younger audiences, but because you've got younger members in the band, you still got the 75, 79 year old dudes out there playing. I mean, you get the Rolling Stones who just released another album just from a couple of weeks ago and they're going back on the road. But I mean, I think when you get the younger guys and they realize just what a business it is now, because you used to make all your money off your record and you go out and promote it by being on tour. Now it's just the opposite. They make no money off their record. They only make money off their tour. And if their tour sucks and they're not playing well, people aren't going to see it. So, I mean, they're playing tight. And all these bands sound great. So, yeah, I'm with you. All right, brother. Great stuff. UAB Director's Chair is Mark Ingram. Thank you so much. We'll catch up next week.
Thanks, Tony.
Thank you, brother.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.